Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. It is the 25th of October. We are hurtling towards another festive season, and I've just bought a big box of mince pies, Luke, and I'm unrepentant. Bring it on.
I think you should be unrepentant. Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us again. Pete, that is an excellent way to start this week's episodes of Luke and Pete Show. We need to know what brand you went for, what style you went for, and what they taste like.
I bought Waitrose and I went for the puff pastry variant of that particular. Because they get more complicated every year, don't they? They add extra things in. Sometimes they smoke the sugar, so it tastes all smoky. It tastes like Lapsang Souchon. And yeah, it's all a bit of a dealer's choice. But I went for the puff pastry ones because I just think they're lighter, less stodgy.
Yeah. So did you go Waitrose or did you go full off the reservation Waitrose Heston Blumenthal?
No. I haven't seen. Hide nor hair of is it hide not hair hide nor hair
hide nor hair I think
hide nor hair of Heston. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of hair, so you're never going to find a pube in your
hide.
Food from him.
What? Because I mean, I believe Waitrose, you know, and God bless them, their standard Waitrose mince pies, and they bring in the Heston Blumenthal's in over the top for the ones who say, do you know what? You're the kind of person who likes to go to Waitrose to shop. We don't think all of you are quite so boring, curtain twitching middle class losers. Some of you want to try something a little bit different. Here's Heston for you and his little baldy head. Here's
the smoky sugar.
And it's going to be smoked sugar. It's going to be orange peel. It's going to be the powdered skull of a man killed in war, dusting over the top. Do you want them or do you just want the normal? And you've said, no thanks, just give me the puff pastry.
Give me something a little bit lighter for the palate. So Luke, what have you been doing this weekend? How have you been? You all right?
I've been pretty good. What have I been doing? I went for dinner on Friday night. It was bloody nice. I did nothing on Saturday. I did a proper, nothing
good.
On Saturday.
It feels good.
Yeah, it feels really good. And then Sunday, I went to my niece's, the niece I have access to's 6th birthday party. Family birthday party.
Were you dressed as a clown?
I wasn't, but she did try and paint the entirety of my face in glitter. I then spent the rest of Sunday trying to remove before I came to work today, which I think I managed to successfully do because no one's mentioned it.
Right. Have you? Well, until now. You're looking very glittery today, Luke. Have you ever sort of turned up to a Christmas party, speaking of mince pies, with, when men with certain... certain beards, they decide to put glitter in them and they decide to put little baubles in them and stuff. Have you ever flirted with that kind of revelry before?
No, because my beard doesn't get that long. It kind of it stays fairly close to my chins because it goes a bit bushy and a bit scraggly and a little bit, haven't had a wash for a long time. So I can't really do that. The only person that's ever looked good on when they put the little mini baubles in and the glitter is Jason Momoa. And I don't even know if he's done it. But if he has done it, it would look good. No one else can get away with it.
Did you see... he can get away with a lot of stuff. I just like the fact that he talks quite wonderfully about what it's like to train for something like Aquaman or Game of Thrones, where he's like going, do I have to get all muscular again? He's just sort of the rigors of actually maintaining that kind of body for those kind of films is just insane. There was a clip of I think one of the later Sean Connery James Bonds, and I think it was the one where he was pretending to be a Japanese farmer, which is fraught with danger and trouble and problems. But he He's just a man who's carrying a bit of timber, and he's supposed to be James Bond. It was very enjoyable.
Well, like, if you look at like the Roger Moore James Bond, I mean, he's basically just a 50-year-old bloke. it's literally just a normal, quite posh 50-year-old bloke. Like, basically, Pete, if it would be like casting Richard Madeley now as James Bond. They're so different. Like, and I said to you, didn't I, when I saw No Time to Die, to me, Craig, who I don't mind, but he's just not Bond now. He's just too old. He's got bushy eyebrows and sort of larger ears and stuff, and it doesn't really work. But then you go and watch Live and Let Die, and it works perfectly fine in comparison.
Well, you think that was probably what a spy would be like, you know, with his gadgets and stuff. He would be a man of all the years, a man who's sort of able to blend in. But that's not really what Blonde Bond is all about. He's kind of a bit, and I just sort of think with Bond, like, if it was Richard Madeley, he'd just be shoplifting all the time.
He'd be running,
he wouldn't get any spying done because he'd be running out of Tesco's with a bottle of booze under his arm.
Too many questions. Too many questions. You can't fade into the background if you're Richard Madeley as Bond. You're inquisitive all the time. It's not going to work. But I would say this: if Bond was just about gadgets, which you kind of sort of alluded to there, I mean, you could be Bond.
Well, maybe maybe that's how Judy's top fell open. He had a button in his trousers. He went ba-da! Like a curtain.
Can I just say then, because we're talking about Bond, I thought you were talking about Judy Dench, and I was like, what? I don't remember this happening.
Is it getting hot in here?
Pete, Richard May doesn't speak like that.
It's not a bad little Nelly question, is it?
Pete, can I bring to the table for the benefit of our listeners, but let's be honest, mostly for the benefit of yourself, the video I shared with you over the weekend about semiconducting microchips, did you enjoy it?
I think I watched it when I was a little bit a couple of sheets to the wind, but I did enjoy it. It's basically explaining to the layperson how difficult it is to make stuff.
Yeah, it's what I find fascinating about it. So for those listening, it was basically a 15 to 16 minute explainer from some very good tech YouTuber about how microchips mostly for kind of mobile phones, but for other computers as well, work and how they're made. And the reason I found it interesting is because it's something that if you're me, you take completely for granted. But actually, it's really fucking hard to make them. There's only a couple of machines on the planet that can make them to the level they need to be made at. And it's monopolized essentially by one big company that if that went to shit, it's not an exaggeration to say the world as we know it would probably change massively.
We'd be cracking
They've got
out
to the level now.
We'd be cracking out the old Nokias, wouldn't we? We'd be sort of using our 3210s again, I think.
Yeah.
We'd have to sort of live within our means.
They're not using the microchip, are they? They're just kind of, you know.
Oh, well, there's probably just valves in there, isn't it? Probably valves and membranes steam and power. Steam.
you're just blowing it. But they got to the point now where microchips are so small and so advanced that the way that they're being made is they're firing like lasers at liquid tin to make plasma or something to imprint upon the silicon board to make the chip. It's absolutely baffling, mate.
That seems very imprecise for me. I'd expect spattering at that point. That's the thing about like they call them, I think, dies. I call it, they're like sort of processor dies. And and on one kind of like CD sized die, you get, you know, I don't know, 20 or 25 individual processors. And that's for like the most advanced CPUs in the world, the ones that go inside the computers and the servers that we use every single day. But the thing that gets me is there are some of those that don't pass muster. Like, I would assume that a chip either works or it doesn't work. You know, that every single lane, every single kind of little wire or vessel inside that processor needs to be working, and it needs to be doing something. And if it doesn't, everything dies. But there's a layer of redundancy, so it means that if not every single channel, every single lane works on that processor, the processor can still function. Not to its greatest capabilities, not to as fast as it should be. And so there are kind of like B grade, C grade, D D-grade processors that come off these dyes, and then they go into like inferior products, and they get sold for a little bit less. So they run just a little bit less. They can't be run at high speed. They can't be run at high temperature, but they still work, which I think is amazing.
So it goes in your microwave or something instead?
Well, it'll still go in a PC, but it'll just be put into slightly inferior products. It'll be, you know, a B-grade model of what it is, and it still works, and it's still you still get not insurance, you still get like a warranty on it and stuff like that. I just find that sort of thing really, really interesting, that they're able to sort of go, well, this isn't good for the best, but we'll sell it off a little bit cheaper, and you'll get a bit of a bargain.
Exactly. They're doing it at such a high level now that those top level chips have to be manufactured. Actually, you know, a purpose-created vacuum as well now. So the machine the machine that makes them has to first be able to create a vacuum inside the machine for the thing to be able to do its job. But speaking of inferior electrical products, what's the hierarchy for home electronics? What do you think is the least respected home electronics item?
Oh, I reckon. So it starts off your graphics card and your computer. Or your television, something that processes images. That's top level. Right down to smoke alarm, maybe a particularly complex.
I don't really respect my George Foreman grill.
Well, what did that really have? Did that need microchips? Just to turn on, turn off, innit?
I'm talking about electronic kind of items generally, electrical items generally in the house. The George Foreman grill gets no respect from me, even though it does a very efficient job. And I've had it for like 10 years and it still works. Just because it's so impossible. It's like basically cleaning a fucking, a sea anemone. Like there's so many different little areas. It's basically like cleaning absolutely clean, otherwise it stinks, like an entire crocodile's back.
Right. Okay. In between every little sort of groove, but do you not just let the grease kind of roll off? Wasn't that the kind of the whole thing?
It doesn't like all the grease work,
kind of... Right.
And then also you've got the dilemma about what you do with the fat that drips off, because you need to really you should be waiting for it to dry, and then using kitchen roll or something to get it, scoop it up and put it in the bin, because you're not supposed to put it down the sink, right? And I understand that you shouldn't do that, because it's terrible for the environment and for the sewage system and everything. But I've got two cats, and they love salty goodness. They will... One of my cats I caught licking the salt cellar a while back. So I've then got to take this tray of fat, wait for it to dry, and then put it in the bin. But for order to wait for it to dry, I need to put it somewhere the cats can't get it. So I end up just putting it in a cupboard or something. And it's just perverse. It just seems like a really weird... what I've done is I've created a load of processes around what I have to do if I want to cook a fucking sausage, rather than just put it in a frying pan and just get on with it.
Yeah, I guess if you're in a situation where you're hiding lard around the house, you've got to take a look at yourself, really.
Well, people would think that of me, though, right? secret lard boy.
Hide it around your body.
Put it in my pocket.
Put it in your pocket. But, I mean, that's the aspect of cat ownership I always kind of forget. They get fucking everywhere, and they can get fucking everywhere. They can go to places you can't go to. They've probably got stashes of lard around the house.
Yeah, one of my cats, when he knows he's got to go to the vet, he'll go up on top of the kitchen cabinets. Right?
How does he possibly know?
Because he can only just squeeze... Well, because one of them's really clever and the other one's really stupid. So if you get the cat carry cages out for the vets...
Yes.
If I put my hand within 2 feet of the cat carry cage in the house...
The cat carry cage.
One of the cats will leave the house and you won't see him for like a day, right? The other one, you can bring it down, put it on the floor, open it, and he'll sometimes just get in it.
Right,
he's got a blanket in it. So like that's the combination of stupidity you've got, and the one who's clever, he'll get up on the cabinets because he can only just squeeze up there, and he knows that I can't get him.
Right. Okay.
And then it becomes a kind of a war of attrition then, because he knows I also don't want him to shit up there, right? So he's got that in his locker, right? He's quite fat, so it doesn't matter if he doesn't have food for a while.
Yeah.
And he is. I mean, because he's also not got a job. He's got no responsibilities, so he can sit up there for he looks at you as if to say, we can do this all fucking day, mate. I can do this all day and all night.
Sounds like Extinction Rebellion, Luke. You've invited Extinction Rebellion to your house.
He did once glue himself to the kitchen floor.
He did do that.
With
laugh. I remember that, yeah.
But anyway, I was just going to say, before you take us to a break, I was just going to say, Actually, do you know what? We'll wait till after the break because you shared something on the group running order that I don't understand. But I'm going to wait until we have a break, and then I'm going to ask you about it when we come back.
Okay, then let's do a break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This is Detective Abberline.
Hearing you, Abberline. Go ahead.
We've got the body of a male on Durwood Street, Whitechapel, just behind the tube. A Mark Allen Nichols. His throat has been cut, a stab wound below his shoulder blade, and,
Continue, please, Detective.
Yeah, she's cut off his knob and put his bollocks in the recycling bins.
Stack presents a thrilling new audio fiction.
She cut his throat, unbollocked the guy, and decocked him for good measure.
The body of a man brutally murdered in Whitechapel was discovered this morning.
That was Jackie's way. Evil, bloodthirsty, sexually explicit, and just, yeah, just bloody horrible, really. Step into the scene. Me, yours truly, moi, that's, me, lead detective, Freddie Abberline of Scotland Yard.
There is a man next to us who has been brutally murdered and dismembered.
We'll go and find his member then. Jesus Christ. Oh, but we've kept his AirPods in, I see. What's he listening to? Death metal? Zombie Nation?
Follow me as I hunt the most vicious serial killer known to man.
Good Lord, she stuffed his eye sockets with his own bollocks.
Jackie the Ripper. The infamous Whitechapel murders. Retold. By the makers of The Offensive. Available now on all podcast platforms.
Sorry, Sally, I got your shoes. Ah, it's my Wagamama from earlier. Let's have a closer look.
Looks like noodles.
Nope, him.
Jackie the Ripper. Hold on to your bollocks.
And we're back. This is part two of the Monday edition of the Luke and Pete Show. I do hope you're keeping well. Luke, you had a very important question you wanted to ask me about.
Yeah, you shared a GIF with me.
Okay.
And it's on the running order, and it's of what looks like a human being trying to carry a bin out but falls over.
Right.
And I don't really get it.
So this, I mean, kind of what we were talking about before with the processors is quite interesting. So a man has... I can't watch it. I just watched it. I didn't want to watch it.
I can watch it because I don't know what it is.
Yeah. So it's a man helping out another man with his computer. A man has taken his computer round to a friend's house to fix it. And the man has fixed it. He spent some time fixing it. And now it is back in the arms of the original owner of the PC. Now, he comes out of a doorway and into the front yard of an American house. And he's carrying this very expensive gaming PC, you know, thousands of pounds.
Right.
And then he rolls his ankle, Luke.
I saw that.
His ankle goes, and then he drops his PC and it smashes everywhere. And I thought... That's two of my worst nightmares. And I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting this to happen, but this is, I'm going to be thinking about that for weeks and weeks. A rolled ankle, not completely over. He restores verticality, and then he drops his bloody PC. It's awful, Luke. It's awful. Yeah.
And also, if you look really closely, there's a car in the driveway, and there's a driving instructor in that car. And there's your holy trinity right straight away for Pete Dawson.
Oh, no. I drove through St. Albans yesterday and I had to go across the London Colney roundabout, which is the roundabout that I had to traverse on my test and in my driving lessons. And I fucked it. People were beeping at me. So I've learnt nothing.
Is that right? Is that when you turn right to go to Radlett, which is one of the most beautiful villages in the UK?
Probably, yeah. It's very underrated. There's no reason to be in Radlett, I don't think.
That was a rhetorical question. It is.
It's okay.
No, there's no reason to be there, and that's why it's so beautiful. Because I've been there for work before, and I've been a bit early. And I've just sat on a bench in the middle of a little square. Beautiful. It looks like a postcard. It's amazing. I can't imagine the type of people that live there. I'm going to say busybodies.
They're probably having their smoked sugar on their mince pies.
Oh, big time. Big time.
Big time.
Speaking of smashing something, I told you I was at my niece's birthday party yesterday. Yeah. And my mum was in the kitchen at my sister's house helping out. And she was just drying up a load of the washing up that had been done and just to get it out of the way and get it in the cupboard. And she had this massive mixing bowl, which I think had probably been used to bake a cake or whatever. Mm. And she was talking to my dad and it slipped out of her hands. And if it had smashed on the floor, obviously that would have been problematic. They've got a couple of pets. They've got a six-year-old. They've got a six-month-old. You don't want glass on the floor. It's a nightmare. But she went one better than that because what she actually did was dropped it onto the open oven door, smashed that.
No.
Went through that and smashed on the floor. So
it went through the entire oven door?
Yeah, because the oven door's big, right?
Yeah.
So it smashed everywhere.
It just went
and the oven door was shattered.
How heavy was this food?
No, it was just a bowl.
Oh, there's no food in it? It's just a bowl?
Nah.
Wow.
Just a bowl. So it was. Do you know what it looked like? God bless my mum. She's lovely. But it was like, it was an accident, obviously. We cleaned it up. No harm done. You know, everyone's fine. That's the main thing. We'll get it sorted. But it was like she had done the most amount of damage possible that she could have in such
with
a small
space.
With one motion. Yeah, it was unbelievable. It was like you know, the guy who walks up to the space shuttle. And just taps one of the tiles and the whole thing explodes. It was like that. It was unbelievable.
Whoa. I want to hear about this man who tapped the tiles and smashed.
No, I just made that up. I don't think that actually happened. I just made that up.
Okay, cool.
But to put it in perspective, me and my brother-in-law spent, I think, an hour and a half cleaning it up.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be big shards of glass. It would be very small shards of glass.
Oh, absolutely dominated proceeding. What's the worst thing you've broken, Donaldson? I did one really bad once. This is bad. I was about 10, and I was in my mate Paul Button's back garden, and he got a new skateboard, right?
Right.
And his dad was a... Remember we talked about this with Karate Kid, with Terry Silver and all that? In the 80s and the early 90s, there were like suburban dads who were like really into kung fu and like stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. He was one of them. And he was hard. Like, I once saw him beat up another dad. He was tough, right?
Why? Why did he beat up the dad? The other dad?
I think it was some kind of low-level parking dispute, probably. I can't remember.
Dad beef.
Yeah, not everyone's as well balanced as we are, Pete, now living in London and being cosmopolitan. He was just tough. Anyway, he was also really into gardening.
Mm.
And he had this massive, I guess what you'd call, like, is it an arboretum where they have all these little plants inside a big glass thing?
Yes, yeah.
So it was a massive circular arboretum. So it looked like an upturned bell, and it was huge. Right? It's probably 5 feet in diameter. And it had all these beautiful, like, Eastern exotic plants in it. And we're playing around the skateboard. You can see where this is going. And Paul said, oh yeah, have a go on the skateboard. And I had a go on it, and I slipped off it, and the skateboard flew off at quite some pace to my left and just ploughed into the fucking arboretum, and the whole thing smashed everywhere. And so then obviously he was like pissed off, because like his dad was going to have a go at him, and his dad wasn't going to be home from work for like a few hours. And
waiting.
Absolute death row stuff. Death row stuff. So I had to go home, speak to my mum. My mum went round to see his mum before the dad got back. She said, oh, don't worry about it, it'll be fine. It was just awful. So I've got, what I'm trying to say is, in my family, it probably runs in the family, smashing glass things at inappropriate moments. But you must have smashed some stuff in your time.
I, you know what, Luke? I'm clumsy and I'm feckless and I'm an idiot, but I don't think I'm that smashy, you know. I'll total the odd wine glass, but I've never really... I can't remember the last time I smashed a pane of glass, not with like a football, not with a frisbee, nothing really. I don't think I've really sort of broken much at all in my life. I'm quite... Maybe I'm just quite aware and scared of glass. That's kind of my my thing.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like that would be... you would be the person who'd be hyper aware of it, so then you would smash more of it.
Rub it on my face. I deserve this. I think I remember seeing a lad smash a glass, a window, where we play football in university. Like just in the backyard, having a kick about, and he booted it and it smashed a window. And I find the idea of having a smashed mirror or a smashed pane of glass to be... It does something in my head where I sort of go, how are they going to fix that? How are they going to replace that glass? Even though glazers, there's no pane of glass they couldn't replace. But I'm just, it looks so important to the integrity of the house or building that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
I just cannot fathom how one could replace a pane of glass where you've got to take bits of wood out. But putty in there back in the day, but nowadays I guess it's all kind of double glazed, and it's a lot harder to smash. But I just stuff like that, really, like you know when you walk down the high street and someone smashed the front of a shop, and that's really thick glass, and it never truly breaks; it just shatters into a million pieces behind that kind of thick plastic they've got. And I just sort of go, that is going to be so difficult and expensive to break to break out and then replace. And you'd have to cut the glass that you're replacing with to the exact same specification of the one it's replacing. I find that stuff genuinely unfathomable. Magicians.
I once was in a little town square kind of thing when I was a teenager, and a drink had been taken, and people were just hanging around, and someone got a snooker ball. I don't know why they had it. I can't really remember. Must have stolen it from a pub or something, and threw it at someone else.
Right.
And you know what? A snooker ball, kind of the integrity of a snooker ball, what it's made of, and everywhere around was obviously concrete. So it just bounced and bounced, like it would bounce forever.
Yeah.
Until it came to a stop somewhere, and it bounced and it went smashing through a massive shop window.
Oh, dear.
But it left a hole like that big. That was it. Yeah. The whole thing didn't smash. It just left a hole in it. And there was cracks everywhere. And it didn't smash. But the alarm obviously started going off. So even though I hadn't done anything and there was nothing to do with it, we all just legged it.
Yeah.
But it felt like the world's most exciting but also terrifying and serious thing.
Yes, you know. I remember when I was walking over the school field. You know, that I used to walk over a school field and there's two horses that used to chase me around to go to school. We're walking behind two or three lads who were... They must have been a few years older than us. They were probably about 16, 17. And someone had parked their car in front of the horse's field. And this one lad just got up on top of the car and just started silently, wordlessly... Just stamp, kicking the shit out of the car, Street Fighter 2 style. Absolutely just destroying it. Smashing all the windows, kicking everything off. And then all the other lads joined in. And they just did it. They didn't talk about it. They didn't sort of go, hey, let's do this. They weren't excited about it. They were just very systematically smashing up this car. And we fucking pegged it. We just, oh my God, what is going on here? Because we thought we'd be in trouble. And I thought about that for like, I think 10 years afterwards that they were going to find me.
Did you ever get an explainer as to what happened?
No, I don't know. I had so many fantasies in my head that, you know, they'd wronged the kids somehow, but they were just naughty kids, but who just kind of decided to set upon this Ford Fiesta one November night.
Oh, that's quite bad, isn't it?
That's bad crack, as my dad would say. Bad crack.
It's quite bad. I mean, I can think of a mate of mine stealing another one of my mate's cars. It was actually his mum's car.
Right.
And just driving it as fast as he could around the playing field, just doing massive donuts in it and stuff. Which is bad. I mean, that's bad. That's like a naughty thing to do. At the time, it was absolutely hilarious. But it's bad.
Anyway,
listen, mate, we've got to squeeze an email in because we haven't done any yet. And this is a kind of a nice segue into it. Because, of course, we talked about dads. We talked about bad behaviour. Dads don't like bad behaviour, but they do like dad behaviour.
Yes.
And Luke from Cardiff has emailed in with the following. Hello to you, Luke. He says, recently just moved into a new house and obviously called in the cavalry to help with that move. Brackets, my semi-retired 61-year-old dad. He exhibited classic dad behaviour during the entire trip, which included the following. One, hiring a transit van and demanding to drive it all day. That sounds quite good. That sounds handy.
Yeah, handy.
Two, wearing cargo shorts during the whole, quote, operation.
Yes, please.
Again, that's probably something I would do. Number three, bringing his set of 40, and I quote, high-end Allen keys.
That's the best part of the email, and it's the reason why it's in the running order, because the idea of someone having 40 high-end Allen keys, his words, not mine, amuses me terribly. The dad thinking about, like, really having a boner about his own Allen keys, high-end.
When you buy some furniture, they put the Allen keys in the box, don't they?
They do, but they're always very... I've got one right in front of me, as you can see. I don't know what camera we're on. Yeah, there you go. I've got
from?
My house is filled with them. They're not high-end, though.
No.
They're pretty poor.
The final 2 points that Luke emails in about, my dad also criticised my cabling methods. Definite dad stuff. And demanding a cup of tea and a sausage sandwich, Luke. That's okay. I mean, God.
That's fine.
He's working for you for free, mate, all day. Yeah. Anyway... He says, my dad's dad behaviour led to a great discovery as well. We've been in the new house for 5 minutes. He immediately headed to the garden to check out the shed situation and found an old Anderson shelter at the bottom of the garden. I could probably do something cool with it, but we'll probably just spend some time drinking some cans in there and point at it when people come round. P.S. No interesting batteries. Sorry, guys. I just went and bought a load of IKEA AAs wholesale. All the best. Luke from Cardiff. And Anderson shelters, a great little bonus in the garden.
Yeah, why do they call it Anderson shelters? I mean, I presume some guy called Anderson designed it. But, like, a lot... I think my partner's parents used to have one, but they got rid of it. I mean, it's a great little extra. And you should really know about that when you get a new house, no? Like, that should be on the plan, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Sir John Anderson, the chief in charge of air raid precautions during the Second World War, that's why.
Ah, right.
It could be on the plans, but it may not be... I suppose it kind of probably would be a permanent structure. So, yeah, I don't know. It's difficult to say. Mm. But the fact that there was a couple of those down in near where I used to live. Because, of course, if you had a garden and you had a big enough house or a basement or whatever, you could do your own thing. But a lot of those shelters were communal, right? So
yes,
there's a load of them. There's a couple of them still survive. When I lived down where I was, where I'm from, at the bottom of the road and in the park, all that kind of stuff. Quite haunting, really.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of echo of what once what was. I never understood how protected you could get though, because it's just a basically a mound of dirt with a bit of corrugated iron on top. I mean, that's not going to protect you from the actual impact, but it might protect you from some rubble or something as it bounces off.
Well, I think some of them are made of concrete, but generally, right. I think a direct hit is curtains, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't like to test that one out.
Yeah, I don't think that's what they're going for. I think they're going for, like, as you say, like rubble and shrapnel and all that type
right,
of stuff,
yeah.
I suppose.
No, so, no karate dad's going
to
protect you from
not something
that.
I'd like us to return to.
No, thank you.
No.
It wouldn't be ideal.
I'd need an Anson shelter if I broke your gaming computer, wouldn't I?
Oh yeah, I wouldn't even care if you'd rolled your ankle. To be quite frank, I'd be like, "Why, Luke? I can see no conceivable reasons why you've got my computer, and I'm fuming that you smashed it. Not that there's any glass in my computer. I'm not a show off. I'm an introvert when it comes to my gaming.
Well, you can
giving stuff.
You can have glass front, like glass panelled ones. Can you?
Yeah, glass panelled ones, blubbing tubes with luminous liquid in them. It's all very show off for me. It's all very.
Can you do a steampunk one?
Oh, mate, it's built for steampunk, isn't it? Tubes and cogs and stuff. I was watching this man doing he's a guy who's just obsessed with this one roller coaster out in, like, Bristol or somewhere, and he's a bloke who... he's gone on it. He's gone on the same wooden old-school roller coaster for, I think, about, like, something like 20 years. So he's been on 1,500 times, I think. He's had 1,500 times. And he's trying to get to 2,000, and he's trying to beat the record or whatever. And he's on there every day. And his whole thing, even though he knows every last part of the wooden roller coaster he loves, he puts his hands in the air to accentuate the downs and the ups and the roller coastery G-forces. He puts his hand there. Yeah. He says, it's not for showing off. It's not for, I'm not saying look at me. It's because it accentuates how good the roller coaster is if you put your arms up. So he's very much the glass-fronted gaming computer of roller coaster riders.
He's not later proven to be problematic or anything like that. He's just a lovely guy, likes his roller coaster, and that's it.
Oh, and he just learned about him yesterday, so he could be. I don't know.
No, but I quite like it when people, you know what? It's honest. There's an honesty about that. This is what I'm into. It's like that Francis Bourgeois guy on TikTok and Instagram. Loves his trains. This is what I'm into. There's nothing affected about it. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm bloody excited. My enthusiasm is going to be infectious to you and actually otherwise brighten up your otherwise dull Sunday. I look at Francis Bourgeois, the great man, and I think, if everyone was as happy as him, the world would be a brilliant place. And it's probably the same with your roller coaster man.
I completely agree. Except roller coaster man doesn't tape a 360 camera to his head and just puts the results on YouTube, which is the greatest part of his stuff. All right, then. Let's get out of here, Luke. We've got some more Luke and Pete Shaw shenanigans coming at you on Thursday. And in the meantime, look after yourselves and send us an email for crying out loud. Hello at lukeandpeteshaw.com. Come on, we can't do this alone.
Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
and Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman, I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.